You know, when God touches your heart, and Miss Catherine, she's going to be 90 on the 1st of September. Where is she? Oh, there she is. She's sitting over there. And you know, she came to me a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "Pastor, you guys have any of them rags, you know, and them wipes that take care of dust?" And I said, "Yeah, we can get you some of them." For what? 89 years old. She comes in here and gets down on her knees. She wipes all the dust off all the legs of the chairs because she didn't like the dust being on the chairs. And then she wiped down the radiators in the back. And I said, "Thank you so much." She said, "What's the big deal? This is my church." And I want to encourage you, if this is your church,
yes.
Think about ways that you can serve.
Yes.
Because if we don't serve, what are we saying? And if this is your church, then take care of it. Because it's not mine. It's ours. Right? Once the debt was paid, my house was no longer collateral. And that was a good day when we paid it off, you know? Prior to that, my house was collateral. But now, if this building ever got sold, I get nothing from it. Right? It goes to another 501c3. It goes to another non-for-profit. So this is every one of us. This is our house. And to take care of it. And I was just so blessed. And she said, "Pastor, I'm only telling you. I ain't telling nobody." Right, Miss Catherine? No, about wiping the chairs down. She said, "I'm not telling anybody else." But you know what? The Bible says give honor where honor is due. 89 years old, walking with the Lord all these years, and say, "I'll wipe the dust off the legs of the chairs." And you know, she said, "Of all my immediate family, I've got one more I'm praying for. One more little girl hasn't come in yet, but she's coming." Can I tell you? That's what faith looks like. She's one of 13, did you say, Miss Catherine? One of 13 kids. And she said, "There's one of mine that haven't come in yet, but they're coming. And I'm praying for him, and God answers prayer." Amen. And just like what Tracy shared, he's real, he hears your cry, and he's bringing them in. Took 89 years, but he's bringing them in, right, Miss Catherine? Because he's good. If you have your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 16. We only have a few more minutes, but how many know you already heard the word of God preached? Because there's nothing more glorious than someone giving their lives to Christ. Especially, how hard is it to bring someone that's been hurt or offended and reestablish them? What's the scripture say, right? It's difficult to do. It's very difficult because they have all the answers. Somebody's been walking with the Lord for a while, has got all the answers, and they like to argue and they want to defend what they're doing. So when one comes and is restored to the King, oh, what a day of celebration that is. And I pray that each one of us would celebrate every single soul that's saved like the day that we got saved and never stop looking for them. So in Mark 16, in verse 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." So it went well with Mr. Johnson and his testimony and Tracy's testimony, because when we believe, signs follow. Amen? It goes on to say, "And in my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues." Aaron and Tila, we prayed for you guys to receive the Holy Ghost. Okay? The Bible says that we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and we'll speak in tongues. All right? Speaking in tongues is a language that you won't understand. It's a language directly between you and the Father. Nobody else will understand it either. All right? But you got to be asking him for it. And when you ask him for it, go into your prayer closet and say, "Father, whatever your word says, I want. And if this is a gift that you wanted to give me and you gave me the Holy Ghost, I want to speak in tongues." And he'll give you what you desire. All right? And the Bible says that we build ourselves up through speaking in tongues. We edify ourselves. So we want to get you guys strong, because you're going to walk through it. You're going to have to be strong with what he's called you to do. And then it says, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Right? Now, according to Jesus, these supernatural signs are supposed to follow those who believe. Tell your neighbor, say, "I believe."
I believe.
See, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you are a believer, right? Just like when Kevin asked the guy, okay, you're gonna have to get saved, right? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But it's about believing, and it's not a one-time thing. No, according to the scriptures. You know, as we look at this is the last time that Jesus is going to be with these guys. He's given them some important information. And he said, these signs will follow those that believe. How many need to see the miraculous happening in your life and your family's lives? Listen, this is a sign to who? The unbeliever, the Bible says. Amen? Right. So this is how we're supposed to walk out our lives. This is supposed to be a daily occurrence in the kingdom of God. Now, when we walk with the Lord, when you accept Jesus Christ, you are not brought into a church. Thank goodness. Amen. But you are ushered into the kingdom of God, right? Jesus said, I came to preach the kingdom. That's what he's preaching. That's what he's building. He said, look, in the kingdom of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, when he walked the earth, he said, this is how we walk together. We are all one. We love one another. There is no disunity. Is there any disunity in your life? Because if there is, we've got to get back to what Jesus Christ said. Because if we love him and we love one another, then we destroy the disunity. Amen? Just turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm getting there. No, tell them I love you too. Come on. You see, because loving someone takes time, doesn't it? To learn their hearts. It's easy to say, I love you. But then we have to start to walk that out and act that out. And God wants us to walk in such a supernatural way that even when you offend the person sitting next to you, and that person offends you, that you can forgive. How many know how powerful forgiveness is? Man, how liberating forgiveness is. It absolutely sets you free. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you need to deal with it right now with you and the Father. Right now. Don't waste another moment. Nobody, no one, absolutely not one person on this planet are we allowed to have any unforgiveness towards? Not one. You see, because one man said you can only love God to the extent that you love the one you struggle with the most. Everybody has a picture of a face or a name right now in their mind. Maybe a group of people. Maybe they all have your last name. I don't know. But everyone has someone that they grate a little bit, or it's like, you know, I have to forgive them. Yes, because when you do, you set yourself free. Until you do, you put yourself in bondage. And God wanted to set us free from bondage, and he said you have to forgive them. How many times? Seven times 70. Seven times 70 per day. Per day. That's a whole lot of forgiving, amen? We don't have any right to hold a grudge. Have you forgiven me yet, Rick? What are you at? You at like 142, 146? You're getting up to almost 149 to 7 times 70? All right. But he's going to have to. He's going to have to. No, we have a great relationship. But this is a key to liberation for each and every one of us. So many are walking around. And he said, these signs are going to follow them that believe. Well, the first thing we have to believe is that Jesus Christ set us free. And the blood was enough. Amen? The next thing we have to believe is that through water baptism, all things become new, right? And then we get baptized in the Holy Ghost with power and with fire, the Bible says, right? And John said, I'm going to baptize you with water, but he who is coming is going to baptize you with fire. So there's a fire that comes, there's a power and an authority that comes, and that fire burns away the chaff. It's going to burn everything you've built. The only thing that's going to stand is what God's building in each one of our lives. Whatever you put your hands to when we stand before God, whatever you have built with your natural hands, all of that stuff burns one day. God's going scorched earth. Amen? We get a new heaven and a new earth. That's good news, isn't it? Right, because you don't want to live in that old dilapidated thing that you're living in. How many times are you going to put new windows in that thing? How many times are you going to repaint that house? Yeah. We tried every kind of siding there was. Vinyl was the answer till the rocks started flying from the mower. And then it didn't have the same color as the stuff that's been on there for 10 years. There's always a problem. There's always an issue. Those things all disappear. Everything that we build with our own hands all disappears one day when we stand before God. And the Holy Spirit wants us to get away from all of that, so that's not our idol. Yes, we need a house to live in. We realize that, but it can't be something that drives us and consumes every moment of the day, because his desire is that as a believer, you will cast out devils, you'll speak with new tongues, you'll take up a serpent and it won't bother you, you'll drink deadly things and it won't hurt you, that you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's what God's plan is for every single believer. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Anyone who believes... Anyone. He did not say it's only for the fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's not what he said. He said for anyone who believes. He said these signs will follow them. And that word signs in the Greek is simeon, which describes the official written notice that announced the final verdict of the court. God's final verdict is, I'm going to give you authority, and when I do, these signs will follow. The sign is who God is, and he's given it to us, the authority to walk in that, so that everybody else understands who he is and his power on the earth through believers. Amen? That's his signature. Healings and deliverance, those are the signature. That's God signing on the earth. He's writing his name on it, say, hey, this is what I do. He's writing down a description, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to come and do it. I'm going to come and work through you. You're going to do supernatural things on the earth because you're supernatural people, because I live in you. Now, with me, he said, all things are what? Possible for who? Those who believe. Right, so this is about believing. And I know every one of you in here that knows Jesus Christ have been believing for something. But some are struggling believing for something because it didn't happen when you deemed it necessary or when you wanted it. And so you've been struggling with your little believer. Right? You used to have that song when we were years ago, Art Thorman. He was a history teacher over in Greenville. He lived in my parents' apartment for 30 years. And we just loved him. He was a historian. He had a little Volkswagen Bug. And he used to always sing, I can go 100 miles an hour as long as I got that holy power, Jesus on the dashboard of my car. I don't care if it rains or freezes as long as I got that plastic Jesus, Jesus on the dashboard of my car. And he was Jewish. So, but it was a song that he used to sing, and he always had that little plastic Jesus bobbling around on his dashboard. But so many times, that's what we have brought Jesus down to, some type of a thing, rather than giving him the freedom to be who he is in each one of our lives. Amen? So the signs, that's God's final verdict. He is not going to change his mind that you are to walk out and allow these signs to be seen through you. That's what he said. He said, that's my final verdict. I don't care if you've been saved a day, a month, a year, 10 years, or 50 years. This is still what I want to happen in your life. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples. Listen, he started out with his disciples. Most of them were teenagers. And he only spent 3 years with them. And then he released them. Anybody here have teenagers? Yeah. Going to give you a teenager for 3 years and then just release him. It also describes signs. It also describes a signature seal applied to a document to guarantee its authenticity. So when God said this is a sign, he said, I'm giving you this. The signs will be my verdict and the authenticity of the Christ living in us. This is what he wanted for each and every one of us. Jesus was sending his disciples into the world to preach the gospel, right? And as he sent them forth, he said God's signature would be on their ministries. He wants his signature on every one of your ministries. How many here have a ministry? Everyone. You're here to minister, right? Minister, a minister of the gospel is not a noun. For those of you who haven't been with us for a long time, a minister is a verb, and it means to minister. So no matter where we go, when you walk into the hospital, visit somebody, let me tell you something, you are to minister to every other room when you're walking down, right? Because they don't like to let you in anymore, right? So I find one name, one person. I ask people, say, hey, do you know anybody that's in the hospital? Yeah, I got this one. Okay, I'll go. And then I hit every other room on the way down. So what I do, I just walk down nice and slow, and I'm like, hi, how are you? Oh, hi. Oh, she said hi. She must know me. And then I go in, and I take my liberty, and I pray for them before I go. And then I go to the next room. I said, how are you? And some of them, you know, are so sedated, they can't say anything. And I just go in and pray for them anyway. But no matter where I walk, I just look for open doors in the hospital. And then the women and the men that are working there, they don't know who you are. You got great liberty. You're undercover. Right? We're undercover working for Jesus. And I just would lay hands on them, pray for them, ask them if they know Jesus Christ, and lead them to the Lord. Why? Because I agree that God's signature is upon my life. I believe it. And therefore, I'm going to do what he called me to do. I'm going to take extra time. Oh, that word that we don't like. My time. You know, these signs that God wants to give, you know, for unbelievers, these signs would authenticate the fact that this was not a man-made message. Have we heard enough man-made messages? We have. I believe that we're coming into a season that God wants supernatural signs happening every day through the body of Christ. Every single day, someone is touching someone else's life, believing for the miraculous. Because that word believe, it means to believe and keep on believing. You don't have to raise your hand this morning, but maybe you got tired of believing. Maybe it's been a while and you're hurt. Maybe you've drawn back and maybe you said, well, maybe someone else will come through the church with a greater anointing and someone else will lay hands on it and then I'll get what I want from the Lord or what the Lord promised me. How many know that God said whatever you desire, he'll give you? Right? Remember when he said that to the disciples? Yeah, you know what happened right after that? James and John got a little carried away, didn't they? The sons of thunder. They said, hey, Jesus, how about we call down fire and burn them all up? All right, hang on. Hang on, boys. We're not burning up one village after another because they made you guys mad, right? But God said he's going to give you the desires of your heart, but he's not going to go against his character. He'll never violate who he is. Amen? And he's never going to answer prayers that violate your purpose. Why don't you think about that? Who knows best, you or him? Right. We whine and snivel and cry and act like two-year-olds. And God says, I'm working this out of you because I've got something greater. And if I'm going to do the miraculous through you, which is what I desire to do, I told you, these are the signs. This is my signature. When I put my stamp on your life through the blood of my son, I gave you authority through him to heal the sick. Amen? Right. And he said, because I've done that, now I need to prepare you for what comes. You know how many men and women have stepped out in and it's destroyed their lives? Because they got their eyes off of him. He needs to work some stuff out of us to get us prepared to handle what he wants to do through us. Amen? This is what God's doing. He's not going to take you out of the fire. You're going through it. It's that simple. Yeah, but it's hard. It's only hard when I look at the situation. It's easier when I look at him. It's hard when I look at it going through my abilities, but it's easier when I trust in him. It's very difficult when I think about how I can purpose it with my hands and with what I own and what I possess and where I want to go. But it's a lot easier when I just rest in him and say, Father, I'm not doing nothing until you move me in this situation. I'm going to rest in you. Where do you find your rest? The TV? A hammock? A vacation? The bank account? What brings you that peace and that rest? It has to be him. You see, because if it's not him, then he's going to be working things out of our lives. Because he's not going to share the glory with anyone. God is not a good sharer when it comes to glory. Right? We've all got children, if you're old enough. They don't share very well in the beginning. Remember in Greenville, we were over there, and Nick was in the nursery. He was 2. Maybe he was a year old. This other kid was 2. Nick was playing with a toy. The other kid took it. Nick started crying. The teacher gave it back to Nick. That other boy walked over with a wooden hammer. Whack! Right in the head. Nailed Nick right in the head. Kids aren't good sharers. We have to be good sharers of the word of God. God's not a sharer of his glory. Nobody gets it but him. Amen. He gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. Amen? Amen. We're the ones that get eternity with him. Yes. And then we get to be a part of allowing the world to see him on display through the common folk. Right? Oh, because none of us are worthy, are we, outside of him? None of us. Most people, even in him, don't feel worthy that he would be able to use them. I want you to know, he made you worthy. He wants to use you. You are a miracle working creature on the face of this planet. That's who you are. You can argue with God all you want, but he signed it. He said, these are the signs that will follow them that believe. If you're a believer, then he said, I can do supernatural things through you. So all you got to do is believe. He said, and I'll do it. That's his word, nothing to do with me. But some people are tired of believing. I want you to know it's time to believe again. It's time to believe and then keep believing. Whatever you were dreaming for, you need to keep dreaming again. Go back to that dream, rewrite it again, and say, oh no, I will have what you said over my family. I will have what you said over my future. I will have what you said over my ministry. I will have what you promised, because you're a supernatural working God in every life that believes. So all it takes is believing. God chose you to be on his team of believers. Right? You were drafted number one. Yeah, you were. You were drafted number one above everybody else. You were drafted number one in Christ. Your uniform. You're clothed in righteousness. Your eternity is all taken care of. What a retirement fund you have. There's one playbook. It's called the Word of God. There's one coach, and he's the Holy Ghost. But God chose you specifically to be on his team, and the team name is Believers. You're believers. Is that enough? Or do we have to have another title next to our name? Do we have to have something more before we actually believe God can use us? Do we have to get to a certain place in our lives when now I believe God can actually use me? I want you to know he can use you right now. And he said, all you have to do is believe. You believe that you're washed and cleansed and made whole? You're a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? He said, if you believe, then I'm going to use you as a sign to the unbeliever that when you lay hands on them, they shall recover. I'm going to use you in that way. Oh, God, you can't do that. Well, all right, you'll have what you say. But God said, wait a minute. Are you calling me a liar? See, because one of the things we're going to do, we're either going to believe God or we're going to believe ourselves. No offense, but I don't believe you at all when it comes to you and God. I believe him. Whatever he said over you. Yeah, but Pastor, I haven't seen it. I prayed for stuff and it hasn't happened. Keep on praying. Pastor, but you don't understand. I've confessed this. I wrote it down. I've been begging God for it. Stop begging and start thanking him for it. He said, all you have to do is believe. He didn't say you had to do it all. Just believe. You're part of a winning team that can't lose. The first team he built was a bunch of young doubting men. They stayed close, and then they kept on believing, even though they doubted many times. Psalms 105:1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Right? Give thanks. Call on his name. And his deeds are the miraculous. Right? What do we want to hear about? We grew up reading all about him. Right? Daniel in the lion's den and Noah and all these stories. We heard all about him. The miraculous things that God did. And it changed our lives. And then we got older. We backed away from those children's stories. Those were grown men walking through them stories. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. An army coming against him. Several armies coming against him. He did the same thing David did. He went in and he inquired of the Lord. He walked away from everything that man could supply. All of his armies were there. All the men were there, and they're looking for him for leadership. I want you to know, when you walk into the room, if they don't know Jesus Christ, every one of them are looking for leadership. They're looking for with someone with enough courage and strength to say, hey, who needs help in here? Who needs wisdom? Who needs understanding? They have, listen, if you're a vet, the second Tuesday of the month, right over by Bagel Time on Fairview Avenue, they have coffee and donuts for vets, and it's all free. So I go over there. It's a great place to preach. These guys are real close to meeting Jesus. They're old boys. So they're not going to fight you on it. It's easy. It's a great place to learn, right? Go with Pastor Bob to the nursing home. Great place to learn to preach the word of God and stand in faith and believe for the miraculous. Right, Pastor Bob? Or down there at Livingston Hills on Friday, right? Friday you do it down in Livingston Hills? He's down there and he's teaching Celebrate Freedom down there. Getting people saved, praying for people that are addicted to stuff. Look, there's all kinds of avenues. There's all kinds of places. If you believe, you're going to have to step out and do something with it. That's where the church has been drawn back. I was so proud of everybody going out there Wednesday night. So proud. Especially, where's your mom? Is she? Oh. First, have you ever done that before? No. Were you petrified? She was petrified. She was a good Catholic girl her whole life, right? Yeah. And now, when the Word of God came, because we studied the Word of God to Romans Road on Wednesday nights, and then she stood up and she said, okay, I'll go. She was in the back of the line a little bit, but then she walked towards the front. And then her son started going up to people and just started telling about the things of God for the first time ever, just meeting him out in public, walking on the street. Why? Because of courage and because of a love for the Father. Can I tell you, when we start to fall in love with God, what he wrote in his word comes easy. When we look at it as a bunch of rules and regulations, it makes it difficult. When it's a law, then it's very hard to do. How hard is it to get up in the morning and go to church when you think it's something you have to do? You ever been there? I was before. I'm not there anymore. The Lord doesn't let me sleep much. Not on Sunday and Saturday nights. I went to bed about 9 o'clock, and I woke up. Whew, it's time, 12:09. Maybe I'll lay here a little bit longer. I laid there a little bit longer, 1 o'clock. Well, might as well get up now anyway. Went out on the couch and laid there and just started praying and just meditating on his word. Then my wife walked out about 2:30 or 2 o'clock and made herself a cup of tea. And then I got up at 3:30 and took a shower and left at 4. And well, why? Because I'm madly in love with him and I like being here with him when nobody else is here. I mean, I love you guys, but it's good when you're not here. And it's just me and God. And I pray that you have your and God place. You have your special just you and God. When you get alone and say, God, I'm a believer. You said that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, I shall be saved. Lord, I've done that. You said that I'm to be baptized in water after I repent, turning away from the way that I was living. Lord, I've done that. Now I'm changing the way that I think by renewing my mind every day. And your word says that I can have all things that I say. And Lord, that I'm going to be able to cast out devils. I'm going to be able to heal the sick. And Lord, I believe that. You need a place where you can get lost with God, share his word with him, and then he says, you're right. See, because whenever you say his word back to him, he says, you're right. Doesn't it feel good to be right once in a while?
Yes.
And every married couple said, yes. Honey, you're right a lot. All right? Signs and wonders are activated by faith. They're activated by faith. I shared earlier, Miss Catherine, been standing for 89 years praying for every single one of her kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And she said, I'll have them all in the kingdom of God. Faith starts to activate the miraculous. And they're coming in one by one. You know, I've experienced, or observed, I should say, that people who regularly experience the miraculous are those that are thinking about it and acting on the word of God. Some people say, I've never had that experience, right? Are you believing for it? Do you lay hands on the sick? Do you pray for anyone? Do you believe that God can use you in that way? See, the church is drawn back. It's not knowledge. Knowledge is not going to win. One of the smartest guys that I ever listened to was Ravi Zacharias. Apparently, knowledge didn't work. Solomon tried that too. It didn't work in the end for him. Because God's looking at the heart.
Yes.
He's looking at his word. We're not going to try to win arguments. We're going to demonstrate signs and wonders on the planet so that Jesus Christ is glorified through every believer and he gets all the honor. Amen?
Amen.
That changes people's lives. The word of God changes their lives. And when God's people will believe and step out and start to do what he's called us to do, and then we see it on display, God changes people's hearts. Those who press forward and release their faith to see the supernatural are the ones who see more of it than anyone else. How scary is that? For some. I think they said, like 95 or 90, I can't remember, 90, 95% of Christians never led anybody to Christ. Yeah. That can't be our lot in life. It's got to be where you tell people about him. Nobody really cares about the team that you vote for in whatever sport you're in. They care about the team of believers because as Kevin shared earlier, the guy's giving him a hard time and used some names that weren't Kevin's. In jest. But then in his heart, there was an emptiness and someone had the courage to say, do you want to? Someone had the audacity to challenge that man's thinking. Yeah, but he's been hurt by the church. Who hasn't? Try pastoring for 24 years. You know, 30 years, six in Greenville. Everybody's been hurt. But I made a decision that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No man or woman is going to stop me from fulfilling all that God has promised over my life and has spoken over my life through the prophetic. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. My pastor didn't do it all right. His pastor didn't do it all right. His pastor didn't do it all right. It's not about them. It's about him.
Yeah.
And therefore, when we stand up and we stand on the word of God and said, for those that believe, Lord, I'm a believer and I'm going to have everything and I'm going to walk in everything your word has promised me. Amen? All of it. We're not walking through half of it. So let's make a decision today. Stand up. We're going to make this decision today. Because I want you to rekindle the thoughts of faith. Maybe your believer got stuck. Remember the old records that had a scratch in it? Eep, boom, eep, boom, eep, boom. And just stayed in that one track over and over and over and over again until you played it backwards. Yeah. Supposedly. I want you to repeat after me. I'll believe and keep on believing. I will read and keep on reading his word. I will pray and keep on praying. I'll give and keep on giving. I'll go and keep on going. I will bless no matter what I get in return. And I will walk in step with the teacher. Yes, the Holy Ghost. You see, you can't stop giving. When we fall in love with God, it's easy to give. Amen? It's easy to give your time. It's easy for Miss Catherine at 89 to come here and wipe the dust off the chairs. It's easy to give tithes and offerings because they're not mine anyway. It's what he's given me. Amen? Listen, if you don't, and when we don't take up an offering, as you all know, we haven't taken up an offering in 3 years unless there's a visitor. Why? Because we believe that you know what the word of God says, and we teach the word of God that the tithe is the Lord's, so 10% is the Lord's. That's what the boxes are on the wall. And some people are like, no, I ain't giving. No, the church doesn't need my money. I need my money. This isn't about the church. This is about you and God. No different than if you believe, you can cast out demons. If you believe, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And when you give, when it's so easy to give when you fall in love with God. It's very hard to give when you're not in love. Right? Of your time, of your effort, of the stuff that you've acquired. Of grace and mercy over and over and over and over again with this woman. I mean, with work, or with life. Not with this woman. She's easy. But when we do, when we fall in love with him, it's easy to give kind words. Love you. It's easy when you're in love. You know, when we were dating one time, she was working for Kroger's, working midnight till 8. I set my alarm. I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I went out and got lunch. I met her at Kroger's, and we went down on the beach and had lunch at 2:30 in the morning. Then I went back home, and I slept for an hour, and then got up and went to work. Because when you're in love, it's easy. When you're in love, sleep is optional. And these are the things that we do for the Lord. When he asks you to get up early in the morning and spend time with him, it's easy when you're in love. It's hard when a bunch of rules and laws. But if we believe, and I believe that this room is full of believers, we're going to see signs and wonders happen through your lives. And we'll be expecting it. We watched 6 lives get changed forever last Sunday. Amen? In baptism. 6 lives changed forever. They were changed and brought into the supernatural to do supernatural things. Not to carry on life as usual. That's not why we were saved and set free. Not to live like the world, amen? So this week, we're going to go out and set people free. This week, we're going to lay hands on the sick and we're going to watch them recover. This week, we're going to do what his word says. And we're going to believe and keep on believing. Maybe you're tired of believing. Grab a hold of belief. Start believing again. Maybe you felt beat up and busted up. Start believing again and thanking God for the miracle that's about to happen. Because he said, I'll do it if you'll believe. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word that's so rich. It's so powerful. Lord, it transforms each and every one of us. As your word said, they believed in the Lord Jesus, and then they were saved. Not only them, but you said their whole household. Lord, we're so grateful. You said, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we spoke. Father, I pray that each one of us would speak the words of God. For we know when your word is spoken, that power goes forth. Just your words, not ours. Forgive us for using too many of our words. Forgive us for dancing around the subject. Forgive us, Father, for talking about everything else under the sun. I pray for a spirit of boldness over every single one this morning. Courage and boldness to speak your words. For your words bring life and deliverance and healing. Lord, everything has been accomplished through the power of your word. This morning, Lord, we thank you for the signs, your signature on our lives. My sons and daughters have this kind of authority and power. When they walk out in it, the world will see the goodness of me in the land of the living. Father, I pray that we would show them the goodness of our God in the land of the living, that many more would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.